Giveaway alert, everybody. That's right. Growcast is doing a giveaway for free. We've partnered with Purple Caper Seeds, and they've given us a couple of packs of seeds to give away to two lucky Growcast listeners. All you got to do is go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway and enter your information and sign up, and we will do the drawing Wednesday, February 5th. Win yourself some free seeds, everyone. We're going to be doing a ton of giveaways in 2020. It's really exciting what's going on. That leads me nicely into my next point. There is a listener AMA coming up, an Ask Me Anything live stream for your Growcast listeners. You can tune in, talk to me, talk to Rob, talk to Wolfman. Wolfman's been missing. A lot of people have been asking where he's been. He's had a real tough time at the shop he's managing. Don't want to get into it too much, but one of his main men has some serious health issues. They were in the ER. Wolfman was coming in. He has almost no time on his hands. It's hard enough to get him for the member AMAs, but his schedule is opening up, and we're kicking it off with a listener AMA February 8th, everyone. February 8th, the Growcast AMA is going down, and you can sign up by going to growcastpodcast.com/AMA. There's so much going on in 2020. It's actually really incredible. All you Growcast listeners are going to be able to get in on so much fun. And you can check out all the action now by going to growcastpodcast.com/action. There you'll see how to sign up for the Purple Caper giveaway, the AMAs. There's a way to donate to Northwestern Families for Autism. Shout out to them. We just donated $132 to their cause. And Jinx from Jinx Proof Genetics and his lovely wife, Miss Rose, helping us out with that. What a great collaboration. Anyways, listen, these intros are going to get too long. So just see everything that's going on at Growcast by going to growcastpodcast.com/action. You'll find everything there. Holy crap. Okay. So today's episode is a breeder feature. I know you guys really like these. And today's breeder feature is for Dragon's Flame Genetics. As usual, talk about what inspires him, why he got into breeding, talk about some of his strains, and more. So I know you guys are going to love today's episode. First, though, let's give some love to a brand new sponsor, Buxton Hollow Farms, everyone. Just go to buxtonhollowfarm.com, BUXTONHOLLOW farm.com. Promo code GCL1 gets you 10% off just for listening to the show. And members of mygrowpass.com are getting 20% off of Buxton Hollow Farm products, everyone. Buxton Hollow Farms is a small family-owned business based in Rhode Island, and they're purveyors of premium quality natural soil amendments, such as compost tea kits, nourished coir seed starters, plain or pre-charged biochar, and tailor-made mineral mixes and potting soils. All their products are either Clean Green certified and or USDA Bio Preferred certified, and their products are hand-mixed to order, so you know that you're getting the freshest, most biologically active products possible. Their compost tea is excellent, mixed for a great soil drench, foliar spray, and hydroponic nutrients. You're going to love it. BuxtonHollowFarm.com is where you need to go. Find them on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and make sure to use GCL10 for 10% off just for listening to this show. Buxton Hollow Farms, everyone. All right, let's hop into the breeder feature with Dragon's Flame Genetics. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please tell a friend about Growcast, tell a grower, tell a smoker. I appreciate you guys sharing the show. And check out our other shows, Rob Smith's Homegrown Helpers for more cannabis growing talk, and my show, The Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast. I see you guys coming over there, and I appreciate you listening to my other stuff. What do we have today? Another breeder feature. Loving the breeder features. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Jeff from Dragon's Flame Genetics on the line with us. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing pretty good.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this today.
Hey, I'm always happy to ramble about my favorite plant.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Dragon's Flame Genetics is the website. You guys can check it out. We're going to talk, as we usually do, about what inspired Jeff to get started and what he's passionate about and all of those things. Jeff, why don't you start there? Why did you get into breeding? Why did you start Dragon's Flame specifically?
Yeah, so, I've always been an enthusiast. I started smoking when I was still in high school and never really looked back. And so it really started as me wanting to create my own stuff, my own unique varieties, and, and to compile just the most interesting things. It was, you know, really a desire just to have the best I can make. And it's a lot of fun seeing how things cross out and, you know, all the different facets of what cannabis has to offer. Mm-hmm. And, so we originally lived in California, and when I moved up to Oregon, I brought all my California genetics with me. We quickly discovered that what works in California doesn't work in Oregon. And, that's really when I started, really focusing down. And that's also when Dragon Flame Genetics started, is, you know, it really seemed that a lot of people really were looking for mold resistant, short season, wet climate genetics, like we have in Oregon. I mean, it's great. California is a very special place. You know, there's nowhere else in the U.S. that has that kind of climate that they have. But for all the rest of us, especially as more states are going medical and going rec, you know, there's a big demand for genetics that will perform in all different climates that have snow and frost and excessive rain and fog and dew, and, you know, a lot of the more trying battles that you have trying to grow in climates that aren't necessarily tailored for cannabis.
So you instantly saw kind of a market gap there where these strains could be better suited for this climate, and you got to work.
Yep, pretty much.
I love that, man. I absolutely love that. What inspires you to continue to breed? Like, why are you so passionate about it? Is it more about, you know, the unique varieties and flavors? Is it about helping medical patients? Is it about, you know, the economic stimulation? Why are you still doing it? Why are you so passionate?
For me, it's my art form, I guess you could say. It's something that, you know, in a lot of other ways in my life, I don't always know, you know, what the right call is. But with cannabis, I've always known it's like something that just, you know, really, it's been my life's pursuit.
It's your creative outlet? I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah,
I don't think I've heard that answer
definitely.
Yet, man. I've done a lot of these. That's a really interesting answer. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
And, you know, it's a way to, it never ceases to amaze me how cannabis can bring people together. I mean, I've met so many people from all over the world.
Totally.
Sharing seed. And it's really amazing how, you know, all different walks of people and places can come together to enjoy cannabis. And it's, you know, it's always for me, I smoke a lot. And so I like to have, you know, I always want to have something new, and what better way than to make it yourself. And
totally. So the variety,
you know,
also
a lot
important.
Of the projects that I'm doing now, you know, are projects that I saw, you know, that I started, especially with the Dragon Stash this year. You know, that's a line I've been working on now for over 6 years. So it's something, you know, that you, it's like a journey that you go on, and you envision how it's going to look, how it's going to come together. And usually it's not exactly how that, you know, comes to fruition. I mean, there's always, you know, sometimes you're looking for one thing and you find another, and that, you know, that's been, you know, kind of been our journey right now anyway.
Tell me about the Dragon Stash. Tell my listeners about the Dragon Stash and also your work with preservation and your heirloom strains and all that.
Yeah, definitely. So the Dragon Stash, the original cross was my Hard Dick Blues to my buddy Tree Man's Orange OG SR 71 Purple Kush. And so the Wet Dreams, the mother of the Hard Dick Blues, was a line that I had made that it's... it got dubbed that because all my female patients and friends or their husbands were coming back saying this was their sex weed. So that became,
nice.
You know, kind of got dubbed the Wet Dreams.
Love
and
it.
So the Wet Dreams I made with the Bodhi Blueberry Indie Snow Lotus. And so the cross, the offspring of that, it still had that, you know, desire side, but it had more indica influence, more couch lock. So it kind of became a joke that you had the Hard Dick Blues. So that kind of stuck. And so that was a cut that, you know, I've done a lot of work with. And, you know, the Dragon Stash ended up being, when I tested through the F1s, that was out of all the crosses I made off that mom, that was the one that I liked the best. And it performed really well outdoors and indoors. It could take a ton of abuse. It could take massive amounts of rain and it wouldn't mold. And it was killer smoke. And everyone that, you know, that got some to smoke, it was always their favorite. And it got to the point where I didn't really want to even get rid of the flower. You know, most of it I ended up keeping for head stash after a while. And so it's been kind of this process that I've been going through. And a couple of years ago, I took it to F2. And from there, I've been really learning the line and seeing how it outcrossed. I used 3 males the first time at that F2 generation, and I outcrossed with those. And then I went through, you know, a bunch of those lines and then obviously myself going through the pure Dragon Stash line seeds as well. And then other farmers as well that I gave or that sold, you know, that got sold the Dragon Stash, all growing it as well. And, you know, compiling all of this feedback and what everyone was thinking about it. And, you know, it's really become my flagship. It's one that, you know, everyone that's grown it, you know, really enjoys it.
Nice.
And nice. So I basically learned the line and learned, what I needed to know to be able to make the best F3s that I could. And that's what this year was about. I did a full term outdoor garden, fully pollinated with this Dragon Stash FD male, which I call them the Red Jurassic. There's these certain phenos out of the Dragon Stash that they just look Jurassic. They usually have double and triple serrations.
Nice. Feet.
And they have, they're really usually very sturdy, strong plants, and they come in either red or green. The red ones, obviously, red stem, red male flower clusters, red to purple leaves, really strikingly beautiful plants.
Nice, man.
That have this really nice blueberry fuel terpene profile that is just, it is just to die for.
Love it. You've got me sold. My mouth is watering over here. I wanted you to elaborate on the work you were doing with your African strains. We were talking off air. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So a friend of mine that I met through Instagram approached me and he said, you know, I have these seeds that came straight from Africa from a tribe that, you know, they're something that needs to be preserved. Would you be willing to preserve them? And, you know, obviously as a breeder, you know, that's something that I take very seriously.
That's so cool.
And so I said, you know, yes, I would be willing to. And so I popped them back. I probably carried those around for the plants around for 2 years after I popped them. We moved them down to California and moved them back up to Oregon before I was even able to do the preservation. But this year we finally were able to complete that and did a, we started with about 30, and I still have another 30 seeds to do a more open pollination. This one was a more, like I did actual selections and narrowed it down in the sense that I looked for the best. That's what I saw it.
Nice. And what kind of characteristics did that have? Sorry to interject.
Oh, so those plants, the terpene profiles on them are usually like metallic, incense-y woods, sandalwood, really complex, kind of in the African sativa vein. And what really makes them special though is their effect. They're very blissful, spiritual, very happy, euphoric smoke that is very long legged. It's something that it's a very unique to that particular region, and it really has just this beautiful smoke that, you know, it's hard not to love when you smoke it.
Oh, I love it.
It is a longer flower, which, you know, obviously that sometimes you have to flower longer to get that real sativa-ness out of it, but, you know, that's the price to pay.
Oh, I love it, man.
All right, before we get back with Dragon's Flame Genetics, let's talk about Fishhead Farms, everyone, one of my favorite partners. Just go to fishheadfarms.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off for listening to the show. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off their fish shit, everyone. That's right, Fishhead Farms makes the product fish shit. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a full-spectrum microbial product. It's an ecosystem in a bottle. It is full of diverse microbes, beneficial microbes that aid in bud development, overall yield, terpene production, aroma, and taste. You've heard all the soil scientists on this show talking about diversifying your natural inputs. Well, fish shit is a great way to do that. And the best thing about this product is you can order it right to your door using the promo code that we provide, and you don't have to go around looking and hunting for it. And it's still really, really potent when it comes to your door because of their proprietary bottling process, and they make sure to keep this microbial life diverse and thriving and alive by the time it gets to you. So you can use fish shit all the way through veg. It's a great growth enhancer. You can use it in flour, of course. It's one of the best things you can do to improve your overall terpene production and aroma and taste. And you can even use it through flush because it breaks down any salts that may be left if you are using synthetic nutrients. It works as a flushing agent because of those microbes. Very, very great product, fish shit. Go to fishheadfarms.com. Promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com members getting 25% off their fish shit. All right, everyone, let's get back to the show. I want to get into your current offerings and talk about everything you're doing and what's available, man. So let me start with this question. If someone was coming to you and they wanted to, I don't necessarily want to say a beginner, but someone who is starting off with your strains, which would you say best represents you that they could go online right now, order and grow?
My first recommend to everyone is always Dragon Stash. The ones that are released are my F2s. There's a good amount of diversity, so you can really find something that's unique that you personally love. There's a Citrus Kush Phenos to find. There's pure blueberry terpene profiles. There's the blueberry fuel that I was talking about as what I use for my F3s. I've heard strawberry jam. I haven't found that myself, but I've heard that from a few people out of the Dragon Stash. Mm. So that's, always my first recommendation. The Dragon's Brew is another great one. That one's a more indica. You'll find tangerine candy and tangerine fuel, and there's some coffee terp profiles to find out of that line. Again, they're both of those. Can take a ton of abuse, from a beginner will have no problem. And then someone that, is more experienced will be able to really push them to true top shelf.
Nice. I love that. How do they feed?
What was that? I didn't catch that.
How do they feed? Are they like heavy feeders? Would you call them moderate feeders?
Oh, no, they're all pretty moderate. I don't like to have to play the Rubik's Cube game of keeping plants happy. So usually in order for me to use them in breeding programs, I want them to be able to be grown by anyone, not just...
You really value the growability, for lack of a better term. You don't like finicky strains in your line. You don't want to release something that you consider finicky. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. A big part of it for me is before I use a male, I put them through extensive stress testing. Usually I pop hundreds of seeds when I'm looking for a male, and I'll beat the living hell out of them, underwater them and overwater them. And I'll take them from indoors straight into full sun, and I'll leave them root bound, I'll let them go dry.
And what are you looking for? The ones that handle it the best?
Yeah, the ones that handle it the best, the ones that can keep growing. The ones that, they want to survive even through, whatever stress you can put them through. And that's been, very key in my opinion to making strong lines. And if you run enough seeds too, I mean, you'll find ones that are just heads above his brothers. And that's the one to use.
That was going to be my next comment, is you can probably see a lot of diversity. So this is probably a crucial step that maybe some breeders or some beginner breeders don't really take enough time and care and effort and put it into that.
Yeah, definitely. And especially at F2, I mean, I personally think at F2 status, that's where you can really make or break a line when you go from F2 to F3. There's so many different, genes that will come forward. It's really, F2 is, in my opinion, like Pandora's box. And if you run enough of them, you'll find that there's a lot of phenos that can be found usually in F2s, especially now when a lot of this is polyhybrids of polyhybrids. There's so much, there's a lot of work that, really goes into making a proper line that, just can't be bypassed.
Well, we're here now since the conversation has taken us here. Do you have advice for people who are doing their own breeding, or maybe things that you see other breeders doing that you consider mistakes or at least not best practices?
I mean, I would say the biggest thing is test your lines, test them. There's enough instability and herm issues in genetics. There's enough. There's enough of that already to just churn out more, really that's my best advice is grow as many of you of your own seeds as you can and see what they do, see how they can cross. And, you can have the most beautiful male, the most beautiful female. It doesn't mean they'll make beautiful kids. That's just not how genetics work. There's a lot of variables that really go into it. And the only way you can know it is to test them.
I like that. Speaking of selections and males, it's easy if you grow a great female, it's easy to see all the different attributes that you would want and say, oh, I would like to breed with this or whatever it is. When you're selecting males, do you have any tips? Are there any specific things you look for other than what you've mentioned already? How do you select males? What are your go-to practices?
Yeah, I would say males are much harder to do a proper selection on than females are. There's a lot of factors, and really the only way to know if those factors even carried over is to test the offspring. But generally, when I look for males, I'm looking for ones that won't release pollen and veg. That's one of my qualifiers. Mm. I'm looking for ones that you can re-veg without herming. I don't want to see female parts on a male. That's a disqualifier to me. Anything that gets PM, anything that gets bud rot really easily, anything that it seems like, is just finicky. Anything that doesn't want to vigorously grow. And then obviously you want it to smell great, especially when flower. If a male doesn't stink in flower, it's not worth using, in my opinion. And visible resin is always a good sign. Then obviously from there, usually from the time I start testing the male, I won't even know if he's worthy of being a keeper for at least another year. He could hit every box, but if he doesn't pass those traits on to his offspring,
right?
It doesn't do you any good. That's the crucial step.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who else is out there that you admire? Whose work? I know you said you were doing some collaborations, but just really quick, is there anyone else out there you're working with you want to shout out or who you really admire their work?
For me, the breeder that I've always, had a lot of respect for is Bodhi. How can you say anything negative about him? Just a really good guy, and I've used many of his lines have been used in my projects as well. And then my recent collabs, I did a collaboration with Bud Pug, and from what I've ran of his work, it was really easy to find keepers out of his lines. So that's always would lead me to believe that they at least know how to do good selection.
Nice.
Two Tone Genetics is another one we did the collab. And, he's someone that I definitely respect his opinion as a grower and, someone that seems like a good dude. CSI as well. CSI is, Inspecta is another breeder too that, you only ever hear good things about their work.
What are you doing as far as medium? Do you do organic, super soil? Are you growing with synthetics, cocoa? What do you do?
So my approach is living soil, especially outdoor. Usually I'm doing either beds or fugiculture, although this last season was kind of an anomaly. We had some smart pots as well as beds. And then indoors, I'm same. I do, you know, living soil and
nice.
I do Korean natural farming ferments.
Nice.
I do a earthworm bin. So I do make my own earthworm castings and compost. This last couple of years has been kind of crazy for us because we've moved around so much and we're actually about to move again. So we've kind of been kind of just doing the make it work approach these last couple of years. And so actually this last year when we expanded from up to a 40 light room, I had one of the rooms that I ended up doing cocoa, and I did canna nutrients, but I won't ever do that again. I'm too used to living soil and flour. So
could
I
never go back.
No.
Occasionally I have to have like instant coffee. Since I've been hooked on the high quality stuff. And when I do, it's just like, oh man, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm still going to drink it. Don't get me wrong, but I'm going to have thoughts. I'm going to have thoughts. Yeah. Yeah, man, that regenerative lineage, it comes up on the show more and more and more, you know? And it was like, I almost feel like it was a code cracker on this podcast because there was so much talk about genetic drift and like, you know, some people saying, I don't observe genetic drift. Like, I don't even see it. Other people, you know, having reporting that their genetics tend to lose attributes, this or that, change in this way or that way. Maybe it has to do with how you're growing them. Maybe the super soil and living soil and tending to the microbial life is keeping that lineage healthy. And I think that the same goes for human health as well. You know what I mean? It's an interesting parallel and it's an interesting subject, you know?
It definitely is. And it's amazing how fired up people get over this very debate.
Yeah. Have you found that to be the case? What, people, you know, denying on one side and advocating on the other?
Yeah, I mean, that's living soil versus salt. Bottles. I mean, that's been a debate that, I mean, I know I've heard it for years. You know, and I, my personal opinion is I think if you know what you're doing, you can grow quality either way. However, I personally am of the belief that the best medicine comes out of living soil and the best sustainability and the best, you know, overall planet health.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
We've
talked about this on the show before. You know, I really do try to cover the entire grow world. I don't like to, you know, push my stuff on every member of the audience. It's just, I have too much interest in what's going on in the whole grow world to just say, okay, this is an organic podcast. But I've said it time and time again. I mean, I'm never going to grow any other way other than with a living soil. I would always recommend someone who's starting out start with a living soil. I think it's the future. Like, I think the more we dial in these practices, I think the more companies that come out with pre-packaged water-only soil, I think that's really changing things. Along with auto flowers, I think it's really quite useful to the less serious grower, the more casual grower, the home grower. Like, I think this is how we can kind of overgrow the country. And not everyone wants to play chemist. And I think that this is how we can get medicine in the hands of everyone who needs it, like you said. That being said, it's like, how are you going to approach it? Even if you do believe that to your deepest values, are you going to shout down people who believe differently? No, I just want to help everyone along on their path, and I'll be extra happy if they convert to my way of thinking and get off the bottle. You know, I'll be extra happy, but I'm not going to, you know, judge someone or shout them down to try and change their mind, because that doesn't usually work.
Yeah, that's usually the way that goes. You know, people just shut down when they're shouted out. That's the way, you know, that's human nature.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Do you mix your own living soil or do you buy a blend?
No, I mix my own. Nice. Usually I start with, like when I'm starting fresh, usually I use like Down to Earth or, their pro organic as a base. And then I do 1/3, you know, that base soil, 1/3 earthworm castings and 1/3 compost.
Oh, nice.
And then if I'm feeling, like I'm going to be doing some heavy feeders. Like if I know I'm going to have like a bunch of OG type stuff coming through that's going to want a ton of cal, you know, then I'll put oyster in and that kind of thing. But other than that, you know, a base soil with earthworm castings and compost has been, you know, a tried and true system. And, you know, my personal belief, if you have happy worms and you're going to have happy plants, that's
nice.
That's the way,
okay. I love, you know, that. That's a simple super soil right there, man. You mentioned you do the Korean yep. natural farming. What do you think of microbial products that, like, you know, kind of ones off the shelf products, your mammoth peas and your microbe life? And do you do any of that, or do you just make all your own inputs kind of naturally?
So from my own testing, the only microbe off the shelf that I will endorse personally is the E1. That's the only thing that
E1? I'm not sure I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's actually based kind of in the Korean natural farming process. It's a pelletized crab shell is, I believe, what it boils down to.
Oh, that boy, I got to look into this. I don't think I've heard of this product.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mammoth and all, you know, almost all of those, you have kind of the two-pronged problem is, one, most of the time, the life is dead. You know, many studies have shown that.
Oh,
you know, they don't really last that long in that form. And then two, you have microbes, even if the numbers are as they say, you know, on the packaging, you're still taking microbes from somewhere else and bringing them into your climate.
So, and that goes against the Korean natural farming kind of indigenous thought process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
interesting.
Exactly right. And that's one of the beauties about Korean natural farming, in my personal opinion, is it's super simple. It's cheap, it's simple, and, you know, using it, at least for me, is what takes, you know, what could be really good quality or really great quality. And that's, in my opinion, KNF is what pushes it into the top shelf elite smoke. That's, you know, that's been my experience. And that's been, you know, from at least from what I've seen, the ferments, especially when you start, you know, with the FAA and the IMO and you're using super soil and, you know, you're using all the OHN, you know, that takes, and it pushes the plant about as hard as you can push it.
Well, okay. Give out a little recipe then. You don't have to, you know, give out your entire secret sauce or whatever, but maybe a quick like FFJ recipe or something that the listeners could make on their own that they could experiment with.
Yeah. So basically with the ones that I, you know, usually I do big batches of just a few things just based on time. I mean, you can ferment almost anything, but the ones that I usually do just because we've got a lot of it around is usually I'll always have, a fermented plant juice of borage and comfrey. They grow incredibly easy here. So usually I just have a patch of both, and that's the beginning of the year. I'll do my FPJs with the borage
nice.
And the comfrey. And that's, you know, that's your veg side. And then for the FFJs, the fermented fruits, usually I'll do a big batch of apples and pears because we have tons of apples and pear trees out here. So you can usually, you know, there's bike paths you can walk on if you don't have your own tree, and you can get, you know, a 5-gallon bucket of apples, no problem. You know, or someone that doesn't, you know, that has a tree, most people don't even spray them with anything, so they're covered in worms. I mean, and those are perfect for fermenting. So,
nice.
You know, that's usually what I do. And then I would say the FFA, the fermented fish, I would say the mackerel is one of my keys to success. It's,
you ferment,
I mean,
your own fish?
And what's that?
You ferment your own fish?
Yes, I do.
Talk to me about that process real quick.
Yeah, so it's equal parts fish and raw brown sugar. And
so just like any other, wow.
Yep, and you chop up the fish as small as you can and mix it equal ratio with sugar, and it goes into a usually I do a 5 gallon bucket size is what I'm doing, which is about 40 pounds of fish. And that,
holy cow,
you know, that's enough to cover a 40 light grow and 48 full term, you know, big plant. So wow. Someone that's doing a home grow doesn't even need to do that much.
Right.
You know, this is like a much bigger size garden.
That's crazy.
And you stir it once a week.
Once a week? How long does it ferment?
So usually on the first pull, I'll do a little bit longer. Usually I'll go 5 or 6 weeks on the first one, just because it takes it a little bit to really start breaking down. And then, so once you have the fish and you strain it, you can reweigh it and add that brown sugar back in. And usually a 5 gallon bucket of mackerel, you know, I can usually get 4 or 5 pulls out of that. And each pull will have, you know, at least a gallon, if not 2 gallons worth.
Oh, wow. So it processes more and more.
And so, and that liquid is good for, it has nutrition in it and it has, all kinds of aminos, which get converted over to all the plant tissues. And,
jeez.
It also destroys spider mites and russet mites.
Oh, really?
And creates a surface that they do not want to live on. And, it's, you know, all around a plant booster. When you spray a plant with FAA, you know it the next day. I mean, they will pray as hard as a plant can pray after they have FAA. And they just, I did not mean to make that rhyme.
let me ask you this. Can you use an atomizer with that, or does the atomization process kind of mess up the beneficials?
So it's more, if you're going to use an atomizer, it's more that you would have to use like probably a hash bag to strain it, because I mean, there's little chunks.
Oh,
and pieces of little tiny bones and stuff.
Yeah. So how do you apply it?
If I'm going to put it, so I usually run it through a, my first one will be like a metal colander strainer.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I'll run it through like a jelly strainer.
Nice.
And then from once it's gone through a jelly strainer, usually that'll go through, you know, a typical pressurized sprayer, or it'll go through a pump, you know,
pump sprayer,
backpack nice. Sprayer.
Nice, man. I love that. That's got to smell terrible, I'd imagine.
You know, it's funny. That's the first thing that everyone thinks, and no one will ever believe this, but it actually does not smell nearly like what you would expect it to.
Really? Because I've sprayed some like hydrolyzed shrimp products that stink.
Because you're using the sugar, you're encouraging more beneficial bacteria to break this down.
Oh.
Because you're using, you know, it's because it's a controlled ferment. It does not have that like rancid, nasty, rotting fish smell. And if it does, it means you did something wrong.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, usually I would say it's like low tide, you know.
Low tide. Nice.
It's not super offensive, other than, you know, if you do get it on your skin, like
it's gonna
smell for a while.
That's crazy. And then real quick, finally, the temperature in the room, does that matter? Do you keep it chilled? Do you let it at room temperature? Like, where do you store it?
When
it's fermenting.
Once it's been strained and you're storing it, you know, cool, out of direct sunlight is the best. When it's fermenting, room temperature will make it ferment faster.
Perfect.
You don't want it in the sun.
Right. I love it, man. That's some great advice, crash course on some FFA. Wait, FFA? Fermented fish? Or
aminos.
Aminos. Fermented fish aminos. Okay, so sorry, I was confusing FFJ, FFA. So it's a quick FFA recipe for the listeners. I love that, man. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. What else do we have to say here, man? Dragonsflamegenetics.com, everybody. Check it out. You're available on a bunch of seed banks, right?
Yeah. We're available through Neptune Seed Bank. We're available through Canada Seed Bank. And we're available through Well Grown Seeds. And we're available through Helladank Seed Co.
Nice, man. You got an Instagram? Anything you want to make sure the listeners follow?
So right now we're doing, until Christmas, we're doing a raffle where every pack purchased through all of my vendors and myself come with a raffle ticket. And they'll stop being passed out on Christmas. And then on New Year's, I'm going to draw 3 winners. The grand prize is worth over $3,000. It's a single pack of everything I made this year.
Whoa. It's
about 52 packs total.
What? That's sick,
and
man.
And then second prize gets 10 packs and third prize will get 5. So it's we do a yearly giveaway like this, and this year we made a lot of stuff. We wanted to do a big giveaway.
So how do my listeners get in on that? Follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, any pack purchased, any seed pack of my work that purchased through myself or any of my vendors will come with a raffle ticket. Oh,
automatically. Okay. Okay, I see.
Yep.
Awesome. Perfect.
And we did 25% off using GrowCast as a coupon code for your listeners as well.
Oh, for real? Damn. You got it here, guys. Go check it out. Love it, man. This was fantastic, Jeff. Any final words to the grow world out there? Any message you want to send to all the thousands of growers tuned in?
Stay free. Stay high. That's it.
I love it. That's great advice, everybody. That's all, everyone. Check out growcastpodcast.com. Click the merch tab to see what we got going on. Some new stuff up there coming shortly. That's it. This was a wonderful breeder feature. One more time, Jeff, we appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Jeff from Dragon's Flame Genetics and Jordan River signing off, wishing you the best of luck in your grows out there. Be safe, everybody, and grow smarter. That's our show, everyone. Another breeder feature in the bag. I've got more coming your way to help you select who you are going to buy your strains from. Got more grow advice coming your way as well. Speaking of which, if you love GrowCast and if we've helped you out and you want to support the show, you can do that very easily now by going to patreon.com/growcast. Choose to support the show, and every month that you support us, you get 2 tickets into the GrowPass 5K giveaway. That's right, you can win that $2,000 grand prize just for supporting us. We really, really appreciate our Patreon sponsors. Thank you so much, guys. Shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat, soundcloud.com/JayBlanked. Shout out to Illinois Cannabis Consulting, illinoiscannaconsulting.com for all your Midwestern and remote consulting needs, plus babysitting services. And go to growcastpodcast.com/action to see everything that's going on with the show. Also find that link in our Instagram bio if you'd prefer to get us that way. All right, everyone. I hope you're doing amazing things in your grow. If you're facing challenges, I hope you're learning from those challenges. I'll see you next time. Happy growing, everyone. Bye-bye.